Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
I didn't think I'd be saying these words this quickly. It is the Brad and Brit cast. And it's a special Friday hospital and Eastern Guilford County.
Man, the internet's wild, isn't it?
It's a wild, wild thing. I'm on the seventh floor here of Atrium Wake Forest Baptist Health.
Yeah.
And as a good Baptist.
That's funny.
Let's just get the elephant in the room out of the way right now. Ready? OJ's dead. Okay.
Are you a little surprised at how many people have blown the take on OJ dying? I mean, I didn't think it was that tough, but there were some people that have been.
You know what I'm going to say, which is there's nothing left that I want to hear that's going to be said now that we didn't know about, and we don't need people telling us this was the beginning of the media and Rodney King got killed and they acquitted the cops, and then 2 years later OJ did it and this was balancing that. We know it. And but if you're under 40 and you don't know
right
about you're not watching legacy media. Wolf Blitzer is not going to. It's not going to matter. So,
but everybody, this is where you make a slight mistake. Not everybody that's on the planet now is, you know, over the age of 30. You have to understand that there's some people that weren't alive for all this bullshit.
Brit, guess what? They don't care.
Well, they might be interested. They might be.
To people under 30. This may as well have happened 100 years ago. It's like the Bruno Hauptmann Lindbergh baby story to them, because O.J. Simpson has not been a public figure for 25 years.
Well, it may have been something they heard, you know. And to say that, when you say it might as well have been, let's, I don't know, 1864. It might as well have been 1864.
All right, we'll get to that and your cheap attempt to always play the abortion card on everything. I'm doing really well here.
That's important.
Day 11 of my residency here in the presidential suite on this floor, and it really is. Can I do a tour here?
Oh, yeah. Why not? I mean, for those of you that are watching, everybody, it's the audio version is going to suck, but we'll try to describe it as best as possible.
We'll describe it. Everyone knows the normal size of a normal hospital room. They know it. And very often, of course, there are two people in the room. There's a curtain. It's horrible. And it's really rough. I'm on a floor with all single rooms. Some people are really, really laid out and in bed, and they're not walking around like I am. I'm very lucky. And the minute we were checking in 10 days ago, the woman behind the desk said, "Oh my God, you got the presidential suite." I said, "Come on, what does that mean?" She says, "Oh, you're just not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it." So we come upstairs, and I'm going to, as you can see behind me, this is a corner room.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's because it's the last room in the hallway. And because of the configuration or the architecture of the building, this room is humongous. It's about three times the size of a normal hospital room, and it's just for me.
Wow. I'm
very lucky. So I am in the corner right in front of this window, which is about 25 feet away from my bed. Mm-hmm. If you turn, you'll see, you know, this is the thing with the TV and all that other crap. There it is.
Oh, there you go.
No, that's right.
What's the cable situation? What's the cable situation?
It sucks. All TV in hospital stuff. Okay,
now, as Brad rotates, he's going to be looking west. He's looking west away from downtown Winston-Salem as he rotates the camera out the window.
These are gigantic windows, okay?
Right.
Okay. Now I'm in the corner. I'm going to walk all the way to the other one. Ready? 1, 2, 3, oh, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. It's humongoid, okay? When you walk in, it looks like this.
It is, yeah, this is a suite. It really is. And you got a little desk there for them to work on and stuff?
I just saw it at the other end of the room.
So you're not... Now, based on what you're doing and what your health problems are, you just can't get up and walk around the hospital and stuff like that. You're pretty confined, right?
I'm confined to this floor.
Yeah, that's nice. So you know every inch of that floor. Ooh, there's a vending machine. Ooh, yeah, there's another vending machine.
Well, because one of the most important things for me, for anybody in this situation, is you got to keep moving. You got to keep walking.
Yeah.
You can't just lay there in your bed like you do most days.
Well, that's accurate. Yeah, that's true.
So it's a real fortunate situation because, you know, they've got a big couch in here and, you know, I can have two or three people in here at once. So it's great. And they're nice to me. And they actually see, I'm at the point where people still think I'm funny. They haven't turned on.
Next week that goes away. Next week that magically just disappears.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're all real nice to me. So. I'm doing well, and this is my last good day for several because I'm going to get rehooked up and get some more chemotherapy, and I'm going to have a bunch of salt water pumped in me, and I'm going to gain enough weight that the Green Bay Packers can pick me to be their entire line. I'll be that big, okay? And then they ring it out. That's how this works.
The layman's terms that so we can understand this are really very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've told you, I'm writing a book about this experience, and it's called Diarrhea for Dummies.
this apparently is the number one side effect of the chemo for Brad, is the unfortunate.
Okay.
Thank
you you know what? Do you see all the good wishes I got on Facebook? And I've gotten some nice care packages from my brothers. I just got one an hour ago from Are You Ready? Are You Ready? Cat's Delicatessen.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so big. It's so big. It's you know, it's a big box, and I'm not even going to open it because I can't eat that kind of food right now. So send it home with the family, and boy, it's going to be great when I get home. When I get out of here,
tear it up.
Yeah. All right. I want to start with something because I was talking about on my Facebook. About 3 hours ago. And I was saying, because I'm tracking Trump's stock going down the toilet. I love this so much.
Right.
I'm delighting in it. Okay. And, you know, it's into the lower 30s. It's going to break 30 here any minute, probably. It came out at about 40. It went to 80. Now it's 30. Okay. And this is within what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? It's a total dog. It's going to zero. It's going to zero. And I asked the question on Facebook. I said, how come some reporter hasn't gotten in Trump's face and said, sir, what is your reaction to DJT stock, the Trump media stock, falling so far so fast? What is your response to that? A lot of people have lost a lot of money already. What would you say to those investors? And then I said, I think Trump will say, it's a buying opportunity. It's never been better. It's going to be a winner. Stick with Donald Trump. Blah, 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 blah. And of course, I put it up at about 11:15. At 11:45, Brit, there it is on Mediaite right there. Look at the story. Trump said exactly that if you're a patriot, you'll buy my stock. Okay.
Essentially.
Yeah. I mean, it's that lame. And of course it doesn't quite work that way. Okay. I mean, think about it. You've been sitting around and you've seen Trump with his name on it. And you didn't buy it a month ago. Now you're going to buy it because Trump is out there asking you for essentially a donation, right? Mm-hmm. It's a donation to buy his stock. Trump insists Truth Social shows, quote, love of our country. and asks fans to support it as its stock price and his net worth plummets. That's the headline. That's all you need to know. I'm so proud of Truth Social. I believe it represents the Make America Great Again movement. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No. See, Britt, he is in the midst, and we've got 12 angles on this, and you get the abortion angle in just a second here. He is panicking in so many ways. And then when you add in the personal panic of this particular situation and the personal panic of the trial starting on Monday, things that he can't control. You can't control stock prices, and you can't control the courts of this country. Although there's still time for someone to fall out a window over the weekend. I'm not saying I know anything, but if you're going to act like Putin, if I was Michael Cohen, shit, man, I'd be hiding out somewhere with a witness protection program. It's literally, that's the definition of it, right?
By the way, radio legend John Hancock chiming in. Rumor has it your bone marrow came from Trump. Just a rumor, I suppose. Great to see you both. Thank you, John, for chiming in on that. Thank you for chiming in.
Yes, so the word has it, though, that the donor does not have hair, so it's not coming back.
They had to match it up in that way.
and by the way, if you're wondering this question, do I know who the donor is? The answer is no. All I know is that the donor, not related to me, which, by the way, is the preferred way to do this these days. Where most of us are living in this, like it's 1986.
Right.
Okay. It's like OJ era. And the only way you do transplants, ideally, is with your twin brother and then maybe your brother or your, right? It's not that way. It's a lot more technologically sophisticated now, and they would rather you not have a relative. There are a lot of issues that go along with that make it better if you can find an excellent, or in my case, perfect match from someone that you don't know. But I'm guessing that this person is out west in the Pacific time zone because of the timing when all the materials got here on Tuesday night. Because as everyone knows who is in our part of the world, the entire Eastern time zone, you can't get from west to east during the day. You always get here, you know, by the evening because of the time change. And it didn't get here till 11:30 that night. So I think I got a West Coaster. I just hope that, you know, this person didn't go to UFC. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I tell you what happened? Did I tell you what happened? Last night at the beginning of the Jesse Waters show, 8:03. See, the great thing about being holed up in a hospital is you have time to do things you normally would never do. So,
like watch Jesse Waters?
Yes. Well, for the first 2 minutes. And he comes on and he goes, O.J. Simpson, this man was one of the greatest football players at UFC. I loved it.
Ultimate Fighting? He was an Ultimate Fighter, O.J. was?
Yes.
Well, in a way.
Yeah. Okay. Right. It's going to be the old, I didn't make a mistake. It was on purpose. You don't get the joke, right?
Yeah, obviously. The O.J. Simpson takes that people were having that they've gotten in trouble for and had to walk back are, to me, just wild.
Oh, see, now I haven't seen people. I can't believe you're burying yourself 30 years later on this story.
I think the New York Times had to backtrack because the headline was, you know, football great O.J. Simpson, whose trial changed America, dead at the age of whatever he was. There were several other people that were like, we just haven't mentioned anything. We're not going to mention the idea that he probably killed his wife. We're not going to do that.
Britt, that's a secondary part of his story. And you know what? Britt, no one should ever be judged by the worst thing they ever did. How many times have you ever heard that one? That old chestnut.
Nobody should be judged by that. That's a great thought. Yeah. I mean, Timothy McVeigh, I think he like supported his local Girl Scout troop. I think he was,
you know, and remember, Hitler liked dogs. Yeah, he did. So you always have to. Remember that.
The thing that's happened, I guess, in the past week that we haven't been able to address because we haven't been doing our stuff on a regular basis is the Republicans are just freaking out over this Arizona ruling, right? They're just going crazy. They don't know what to do with it. They caught the dog caught the car again and can't figure out what to do with it.
Well, I did a little comparison here because, you know, they've reinstated this dopey law that was passed by some drunk judge in the Arizona territory. It was 48 years away from becoming a state. All right. 1864 became a state in 1912.
That's okay? Amazing.
So it's 48. The first house in America to get electricity.
Yeah.
Was in 1872 up in Wisconsin. Okay. So this is
no electricity.
This is about a decade before there was even electricity. And of course, women couldn't vote until 1920.
You know what would make you a judge in Arizona in 1864, able to pass laws? If you were clean shaven 4 days out of the week, they basically made you a judge in Arizona back in 1864.
Well, I guess they must have had their own government back then. You know, they were part of the United States. So.
Territory.
God, who was the governor then? Sugarfoot?
Sugarfoot was in fact the governor.
Yeah,
as drawn from lottery.
Yeah, yeah. So the ineptitude, the stupidity, the ignorance, the cottage cheese thought process of Republicans and Trump himself is so beyond almost anything we've ever seen. And you can feel the polls moving across this country. And I know shit is still too expensive, and the rent is too high, and gas. I know all that. But in the end, when you vote for president, it is very much an emotional decision. And you notice they don't even attempt to do the which one of these guys would you rather have a beer with, putting aside the fact that Trump is a teetotaler. You can tell.
Well, but wait, he bought milkshakes for a bunch of people, so he's a really nice. I just saw that Fox News is really highlighting the fact that he bought milkshakes for people.
Well, that was a huge thing. The most important thing that he did, he dominated the cycle.
First of all, Joe Biden's the ice cream guy, motherfucker. You're just trying to steal his bit right there. You're just trying to trample on that guy's bit right there.
Right. Right. the whole thing with abortion, let's set aside, we shouldn't, but we're going to set aside the fact that it's a human tragedy for tens of thousands of women on an ongoing basis every day in this country. Depending on which state you are in, the laws, the rules, the legislative clampdown is so extreme. This is one of those, if I would have told you 5 years ago that this was going to happen, you wouldn't have believed it. It's one of those kind of situations, but it's here. And they're so far down in the hole on this in terms of the polling. You know, I mean, this is a 70-80% easily topic, which means it cuts across a good slice of the Republican Party. And Trump can't get out of it. And he can't play this game of, well, don't worry about it. They'll take care of it. The states will fix this, which is, by the way, what Donald Trump's great, 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 great grandfather, Cornelius Trump, said in 1857 after the Dred Scott decision. Don't worry about it. The states will take care of it.
The states will take care of it.
Notwithstanding the fact that we had an actual civil war within 3 years.
Yeah, well,
I'm just trying to pick up on these
fair enough
historical analogies, because
but we also have history to learn from when it comes to abortion, and having the states deal with it meant a lot of back alley abortions, a lot of women dying from embolisms. That sort of thing happened, not in my lifetime, but again, I'm able to go back and read.
Are you alive now?
Well, that's true. That's accurate. Yes.
See, Britt, that's what making America great again is all about.
Right. So we have history to choose from. And again, I thought the equal protection part of the Constitution, not a lawyer, but I thought it meant that we treated women in Arkansas the same way we treated women in California. I thought that we treated women in Mississippi the same way we treated women in New York. I guess I was wrong.
Nice try, Gloria Steinem breath. And it's not, it's really, really not funny. I know. But the fact that the day after the entire Republican contingent of the Arizona legislature decided to shut it down, they had a chance to at least on the surface fix it. And with 200 and some days still till the election, you know the game. They'll never remember this come election day, which is not true, but at least they could have moved into that attempted zone of, I don't even know what you're talking about. What law? What 1864 law? They can't even do that because they really are ready to completely take control of women's bodies. And we love babies, but we love the women who have the babies first, because if we don't, they won't be able to have the babies so that we can love them. And it's you didn't think it would be this way, but it is. And it's the Supreme Court on down, and it's these gerrymandered Republican legislatures. We live in one of those states right now. And we're not that far away from being Arizona.
No, we're not. We're a governor away from that. And we can get into that in just a moment as well. Meanwhile, the Biden campaign has made some very effective, heart-wrenching ads looking at families who have had abortions because they were medically necessary. And I think the ads that they've made and the communications that they've made have been just outstanding and really on the money, although very difficult to watch.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it, because remember, you're up against a guy who, and I don't know the last time he said it, how many days has it been since he's played the Democrats are so out of control and they're extremist, they want to kill the babies after they're born. Right. They want to butcher them. They want to get a chainsaw and cut their heads off and feet. He can't even do that anymore.
I think.
Or is he still doing it?
I think Jake Tapper went toe-to-toe with Sununu last night on that, about the whole, hey, they want to kill the babies while they're and I think Sununu had to come back at Jake Tapper with he had no answer. He has no, it's stuff that they continue to say, but they cannot win. The Republicans are dying with this abortion issue. And based on what happened in Arizona, you would have to say objectively that Arizona looks more winnable for Joe Biden 6 months out before the election than it did in 2020 when he won Arizona.
Well, I wouldn't even be that sanguine about it. I would say it's now up to the Republicans to attempt to maybe snag Arizona. I think it's in the Democratic bag right now.
It feels like it.
And again, a few weeks ago, Democrats were kind of hangdog. Oh, God, look at these polls. They were putting out these polls nonstop. All seven battleground states, Trump has at least a 5-point lead. And what was the worst state of them all? North Carolina.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
He had the biggest lead in North Carolina. Well, I haven't seen any polls from late this week yet, but I guarantee you by Monday, we'll have all new polling in the Magnificent Seven. Are those stocks or states? I guess they're both.
I really feel like if he gets Arizona, if Biden can win Georgia again, and if he gets North Carolina, it could go to 320. It might be 100, up to 320.
I think you are forgetting FLOR.
You think Florida's gettable? You think Florida's doable?
I think that there are no, there's no Republicans. Their equivalent of New York and California and Massachusetts that the Democrats never have to worry about.
Yeah.
It used to be Texas.
Yeah.
It's a little less Texas all the time. Florida has kind of swung that way.
Right.
But because of the number of people who move to Florida, the turbulence of that population, and again, people significantly older than me tend to die off in four-year cycles, okay? So for all we know, Florida has maybe a younger population than they did. And I think polling is so inept these days, but this is such a macro issue. This cuts across so many things that Florida is not the Republicans' New York or California. It never was, because remember, they elect Democratic governors up until, you know, DeSantis. I think Florida's in play.
That's very interesting.
Because they're also going to have a referendum on the ballot about abortion.
If Biden is able to get Florida, I mean, it could be 330 or 350. I mean, my God, that could, and that would be the cherry on top of the sundae is the president loses his home state, that, or the ex-president loses his home state. Right. That would be very, very interesting.
We're speaking in the middle of Friday afternoon. And speaking of Florida, Mikey, all the animals went two by two on the ark. Johnson, the Speaker of the House, by the way, that's a historical fact, Britt.
Is
sucking up to Trump right now, and they're probably going to hold some joint news conference. Johnson's going all in with 2020 was stolen, election crap, and they're probably going to bring out, I've got a prediction, they're going to find 12 illegal manatees that registered and voted in 2020.
Isn't this just a way for Johnson to try to insulate himself from the craziness that is Marjorie Taylor Greene? Isn't this like him trying to fend her off?
I don't think there's any insulation anymore. It is it is the definition of a Daisy Cheney clusterfuck. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no escape. Trump is weaker and weaker all the time, even though he looks stronger and stronger, because what passed for real moderate Republicanism that's still around, a lot of those guys are quitting, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want any part of it. So if you think the Republican Party is stronger because it's shrunk down with more wackos, and Mike, I don't have much of a future, Johnson probably, no matter what I do, you tell me, what's the most desperate move that we can talk about here? Is it what's going on in Arizona? Is it him going down to Florida, Mike Johnson? I mean, there's 12. Is it Donald Trump every hour on the hour, right after traffic and weather on the 8th, trying to come up with new bullshit to get his trial held? You can't do it. There's nothing. You got nothing. You got nothing. If I were Donald Trump, I would take the coward's way out. And you know what that means? I'll stop right there. I think that'd be a good
coward's way. The coward's way out. At this point, it would be the hero's way out, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's the only way
I build a statue for the guy, right there.
His last act can be a request to the Simpson family to have OJ buried. Is she at the first hole, Ivana?
Yeah, I think she is. I think she's up there, yeah, in Bedminster.
So put him up there with Ivana, play one final round of golf. And then when you get to the 19th hole, there will be an elixir of all kinds of things that
hemlock
make you feel good. Yeah, hemlock. There you go.
You call it a day. Can we talk about North Carolina and talk about how I think the guy that in the governor's race for the Republican Party is a dead man walking, politically speaking of death?
Who, Blubby McFatso?
I would encourage everybody who's listening or watching this to go to Mark Robinson's website. He's the Republican nominee for governor of North Carolina. It is markrobinsonfornc.com. markrobinsonfornc.com. And when I showed you this and went on the tour of this with you, I said, this looks like a city council website for a guy that's running for city council, maybe in Cary or possibly in Kernersville or Clemens.
No,
that's what it looks like.
You're wrong. Those people will have better, more comprehensive, more substantial websites that would outline things they want to do. We want to make sure that all the parking meters work, that we have enough cops, that the garbage gets collected.
None.
And that's what you do when you're running for local office. When you're running for statewide office in this state, there are lots of important issues. There's the environment. Hey, Mark Robinson, what you think of abortion now?
Exactly.
What do you what do you embrace?
Education, business, agriculture. None of that stuff is on Mark's site. By the way, the friends of Mark Robinson apparently built this website, and his campaign headquarters are in a place called Norwood, North Carolina.
Is that one of the O.J. Simpson characters in
I think that was Nordberg. I believe Nordberg was what you were going for there in the Police Academy films.
Sorry.
If you didn't know where Norwood, North Carolina is, and I've been on this in this state for almost 54 years, I didn't either. It's somewhere in Stanley County.
Which somewhere I don't know where Stanley. That is either.
Well, it's on the way to Charlotte, more or less, from where I am. So if you go over and you click on events, there are no events. They don't have him out in front of anybody. There's no endorsements on this website. There is a place where you can go and donate money, of course, and there's how you can become a county leader. Let me explain something. We live in the ninth most populous state in this union, and it's very important to this upcoming election. It is what they call a swing state. When they have a guy at the top of the ticket running for governor, in any normal situation, the Republican Party on a national level gives you tens of millions of dollars worth of resources. They fly people into this state who know how to poll, they know how to message, they know how to build websites, they know how to manage, they know how to win campaigns. That happens. That's not happening here.
Well, Britt, you got to believe. You know, and they've got limited resources as it is because Trump spent it all.
Exactly.
On his lawyers, and they're directing it towards him. And by the way, Britt, I just saw the DNC paid for Joe Biden's lawyers too. So it's the same.
They're same both thing. Same.
Absolutely same thing.
So you do have that mechanism working that the RNC and the national people are not working as they normally would because it's all toward serving Donald Trump and trying to figure out his legal situation.
All right. So it's bad enough that that's going on. It's even worse when you're trying to feed a family of 10 on $5 a week. That's basically what they're doing. They've got lots of mouths to feed around the country.
Yes.
And they've got to decide who's terminal and who's not. And it looks to me, based on you pointing out that pathetic website and his lack of visibility, is he on TV right now?
I've not seen anything about him on television. I would think that
you know, that Republicans can target TV audiences. You know, they can target the Jeopardy audience,
exactly,
which is older white people.
Correct.
That's the and he's not on Jeopardy, is he? I don't think. I don't see it.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the social media stuff for him. I don't think on a national level, the people who normally would be in charge of winning these elections and giving research, I don't think they know what to do with Mark Robinson. And I think maybe the decision has been made nationally among the people who make those decisions to let him dangle, just to let him. He's a dead man walking politically, it feels like to me right now.
I don't even think it's a discussion.
It feels that way.
If you're not supporting this guy, I mean, it's already.
We're 6 months away from early voting starting. I mean, everybody can talk about November. By the time November rolls around and Election Day rolls around, it may have been already decided when it comes to early voting and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You're gone. So I don't think the Republican Party nationally knows how to clean up this turd. I just don't think they do. I don't think they know what to do with Mark Robinson. And for Democrats, this is a unique opportunity to win North Carolina. If the top of the ticket is this dead, you have to devote resources in North Carolina. You have to pour money into North Carolina, I think, because Joe Biden could win because the top of this ticket is just a loser, a complete dead bang loser.
Well, I think they are. I think they are. They have moved some money towards North Carolina already because for a while it was, you know, out of the top seven, it was number seven. I guarantee you it's not number seven anymore in terms of perceived winnability, and because, you know, we're the ninth most populous state, and because of the wisdom of the founding fathers, that gives us big sway in the election because of the Electoral College. Britt, should I explain the Electoral College? A lot of people don't know about that. I think
it's hard for me to imagine in modern times for a Republican candidate in a statewide election getting less than 45%. I think it might happen here. I think we might see a situation where Mark and the big three that we talked about, the trio of terror, him and the woman who's running for the superintendent of schools, this Morrow woman, and the guy, Dan Bishop, who's running for attorney general against Rick, Jeff Jackson.
I think what we're really saying, because we're dancing around it, racism, racial racism, that kind, I think will trump any anti-Semitism that might exist about Josh Stein.
It feels like it.
Here's the reason. He's already been elected to statewide office. He's essentially inoculated. If you would dare go after, if they would dare even hint at it, and I know you think, oh, they're going to figure out. They're not. Britt, they're not that smart. They don't even know how to put the car in a parking space and not over the line. They can't do it.
Now, Mark has also been elected to statewide office, but here's a dirty little secret.
Not really.
In our state, lieutenant governor doesn't mean shit. He doesn't really have any duties. I'm sorry. It's probably true in a lot of states. Lieutenant governor is just a thing in case the top guy gets hit by a bus. That's basically what that's there for, correct?
Yeah, of course. There's no equality at all in terms of responsibility, ability, and leadership when you compare a guy with a great pedigree, and he is one of us. He is a North Carolinian, Josh Stein.
Yeah.
And he's been elected attorney general twice, and that's been a proving ground ahead of running for governor yourself. But let's not get ahead. We got to get this done.
Here's another thing.
Mark Robinson's an imposter. He's just a phony.
The story came out, I think, a day or two ago. In addition to having the bankruptcies that he has a record, there were a few years he just forgot to file his taxes. Mark Robinson, just for a few years, in addition to going bankrupt, didn't so much file the taxes. Josh Stein, as it turns out, never bankrupt, always files taxes. It's just one of those things.
Remember, for a lot of the country, that means he's a sap.
He's a sap for paying taxes.
Only suckers pay all the taxes that they owe, and that's why I'm the greatest businessman in the history. You know what, Britt? We've been consistent all through it, and it really feels pretty close that the ceiling, not just the walls, are caving in. When you add up the wreckage of the judicial system by all these unqualified, terrible judges who have been appointed not just by presidents, whether it's George W. Bush giving us Samuel Alito, okay, or George H.W. Bush giving us Clarence Thomas. If it isn't starting to sink into people that when you vote, particularly for president, you're voting for 50 years from now, because they're appointing people in their 30s and 40s to federal judgeships, and they're gonna be in there causing trouble long after we're all gone. And if you think that sitting home or voting for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the answer because I don't like either of them, they're both too old, you're wrong. You are just plain wrong.
I looked it up, and the number to beat for Mark Robinson, the standard for shitty Republican candidates for governor in North Carolina is Patrick Ballantyne, the 2004 election. Do you remember Patrick Ballantyne from the Wilmington area?
I remember that. That's a great beer. Ballantyne Ale is a great, he's that family, isn't he? No.
Mr. Ballantyne got 42.88% of the vote in a statewide election.
Right. So that's the old, if you have a pulse.
Exactly.
You are next to your name, you get, 40 plus percent of the vote. But it's that next eight, 42 means 58 for the other guy. And now, you've been killed. You've been murdered.
Okay. Obviously, in 2004, George W. Bush was running against John Kerry, and George W. Bush won North Carolina. But I really feel like this is a unique opportunity for North Carolina to go for Biden. To turn this place blue, at least for this election, and get a foothold, because this is a zombie candidate right now. And he's not gotten even to the point where he's going to start spitting fire. We talked about this the other night on our chat about whether they think that Mark is going to debate Josh Stein. And I think Mark has to, given how shitty he's doing, his name recognition and the support that he's getting. I think he needs the exposure from a debate, like as earned, what do they call it? Earned media or whatever you call it. I think he has to have that.
I don't know. I think that places like North Carolina and governor's races, they may take their cue from what happens at the top of the ticket.
With the big guy.
And I'm willing to you know, bet, you know, 9 cents that there will never be presidential debates this year. Never. First of all, let's stop calling them debates. They've always been joint appearances where people hurl feces at each other.
Well, that's
true.
And
that particular description was elevated off the charts when Trump just came out, never answered any questions that a moderator would ask, and just would turn towards Joe Biden. And in the case of Hillary Clinton, he would stalk her like a fucking criminal. Oh, yeah. Not like a he is a criminal.
Yeah.
He was a criminal then, you know. And there's just no reason to give him the oxygen of quote unquote earned media of a debate to give anybody any more information about Donald Trump that we don't already know. We know everything. If the excuse for having debates is, well, this gives the American people a chance to hear both that is such a load of shit. It's a load of shit. We know more about these two people than any two people that have ever run for the presidency of the United States. We haven't had two presidents running against each other in our lifetimes. There's nothing they're going to settle out there if Lester Holt throws one of those formulated NBC softball pointless both sidesism questions out there to get tackled. Forget it. Don't do it. The country has elected probably 80% of their presidents with no debates.
I think there's been, but I would say this, and this is how Trump ruins everything, at least when you would see those joint appearances. You could see differences in policies in the candidates. You could kind of see like, oh, this guy does this. I can, if I pay attention to the debate for a little while, I can see if this guy is more like what I want, and this guy is probably not really what I want or what I like or what I support. You could at least see that by watching 30 minutes or 45 minutes of a debate pre-Trump, before the Trump days.
But
there was a point to that.
Because both of these guys are old geezers, okay?
Yeah.
And because we know exactly where they stand on things, the last thing you want is to be hanging out there on the high wire where you are subject to how questions are formulated by moderators that are designed to elicit an answer so that the other person can attack you. I don't see any advantage for Joe Biden to allow that to happen. That's not to say that he can't defend himself. He did a good job against Trump 4 years ago. I mean, he just took it right to him.
He did.
But that's not the point. We know what Joe Biden is. We know what he's all about. And we don't need Donald Trump to explain things to us that will be filled with, and by the way, next time I hear the word falsehood, someone's going to get hurt. Did you ever hear that word in your life?
No. Well, I was like, wasn't it like a legal, wouldn't you hear that in like a court of law or something that somebody Maybe. Told a falsehood or something?
Maybe, but you know, you went to elementary school, right?
I did.
Did any kid ever get in trouble for telling a falsehood?
No, my mother never whipped me for telling a falsehood either. Right. So right. No, that never happened. That.
You were telling lies, weren't you?
I was. Can we, before we get out of here, not to end on a down note, but we've been devastated by the news of our colleague, a guy that we've known for about 25 years now, Bo Thompson, who does the morning show, Good Morning BT on WBT in Charlotte.
Right.
And his daughter unexpectedly died this week from a blood clot traveling to her heart. And it's just been the worst thing. So we've been certainly thinking about Bo and the horrific thing that his family is going through this week.
Yeah. I'm in Winston-Salem at the Wake Forest Baptist, owned by Atrium hospital here, and Bo's daughter had a blood embolism. We're not quite sure. She may have had some kind of surgery before that. Don't know. So there's no point in speculating. Whatever it is, it's tragic. And when somebody is 20 and that happens, and I'm sitting here at 68 getting life-saving care, I don't want to play the, it puts it all in perspective, because it does, but you know, I'm pretty lucky. Aside from having to do this podcast with you.
Well, you gotta pay your penance somehow.
Absolutely. but Bo, here's, you know, and I said this to you on the phone. I said, this shouldn't happen to anybody.
Yeah.
It should never happen to someone as good and decent as Bo Thompson and his whole family. It just shouldn't, but it does. And it's going to test a lot of faith in a lot of people. It's very, very difficult to try to digest that one. It really is. Our condolences all the way to you, Bo, and your family, and everybody at WBT too.
All right. We will keep you guys abreast of what our schedule is and what we're going to do in the future. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah. I can say for sure that we're probably a good week and a half to 2 weeks before we can do this again, maybe, but I don't think so. I don't think I'm now going back into the barrel for several days for some more different kinds of treatments. And they're going to have me attached to a pole with saline water going into me so that I get to pee every 20 minutes. It's great. It's just wonderful.
What kind of torturous device? Are you sure you're in a hospital?
Yeah. But it's all good, and they're great, and they know what they're doing. And I hope nothing like this ever happens to you, but if it does, they have my endorsement. And ask for the presidential suite. It's great.